So today, well, first of all, I want to say hello, St. John, and to greet you all. I know that there are some that are online. I wanted to greet you as well. We are in October of 2021. God has brought us a mighty, mighty long way. Amen? And I don't know if you remember March of 2020, but there were no guarantees that we would even be at this spot. But the Lord has continued to keep us, and whereas others are struggling and just trying to make it, St. John is thriving. Amen? Amen. I attended a ministry conference yesterday, and I heard an interesting statistic that each week, 75 to 100 American churches close every week. St. John is not one of them. Amen. And this is not to do this or to do this, but to do this. Hallelujah. The Lord has kept us in the middle of a pandemic. When churches would close or otherwise give up on the various things that God has called them to do, God has continued to keep us, not because we're so good, not because we have great strategies, not because we have a mix of elders and younger people, but because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Amen. With that said, I know time is spent. I will do my best to move as the Holy Spirit would want me to move. Today, we're going to start a very interesting series. And this series is called The Middle. The Middle. What in the world is the middle? Well, most of us in Western Christianity, Western being European American Christians, we're taught of two types of realities. We know that there's a God in heaven, you know, and there's angels and demons. We know about that. We're taught about that. And then we also know kind of the base level things. You know, we know about sciences. We know, you know, psychology, sociology, mathematics, how things work. So we're exposed to kind of the human level of things on the basics, and then God, like, and you know, cosmic level things. But what we often lack is the middle ground. And this is kind of where the spiritual meets the what we know as the physical. And so that's what this series is about, is exploring the middle. And today's sermon is going to come from the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. And once you're there, please turn with me to the 22nd chapter, Numbers 22. And what we're going to do is read, we're going to be coming from verses 1 through 13, but in the interest of time, we're just going to read the sixth verse. Numbers 22. Six. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Amen. Everybody's quick, or everybody's looking at the screen. The words are also printed on the screen for those of us who have trouble reading. something in front of us or who do not have something in front of us. We want to make no excuses for the Word of God. Amen. So we have the Word. We have the Word available for all those willing. The book of Numbers, 22nd chapter, the 6th verse, reads as follows. It says, please come and put a curse on these people for me, because they are more powerful than I am. I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed. So as we get ready to explore the middle, the first topic we want to cover are blessings and curses. Blessings and curses. So I remember being in 11th grade, and I had a biology class, and it was taught by this sweet lady. It was a sweet lady. She was a sweet lady, but she was also a nun. And I know some of us are thinking, well, you know, you don't really see that every day, a nun teaching biology. But that's what was happening. And there is one particular day we were in the biology class. And the teacher was teaching. She was up there, you know, doing the formulas and whatnot. And one girl sneezed. Achoo! And she turned around from teaching and said, God bless you. Okay. She went back to start teaching. Achoo! God bless you. She went back to start teaching. And then there's a third sneeze. Achoo! And then she turned around and said, God, you. And everybody, you could hear a pin drop in that class. Everybody was quiet. We couldn't really believe what just happened. And the teacher turned around and said, what? Evil things happen in threes. Now, I couldn't read everybody's mind. But I know the fact that she was a nun added a little bit of weight to all of this. The way she said it, it was just so matter of fact. It left a really uneasy feeling in the room. I mean, y'all, this girl was just cursed by a nun. So that has to be bad, right? Now, how does this story land on you? Now, some of us, if we want to be honest, don't really believe in curses. So we're kind of like, yeah, you know, she was being superstitious and probably a little mean. But some of us who do believe that curses are real believe that something supernatural just took place. And there's probably some more supernatural intervention that needs to happen. And this is what I want to explore today, the topic of blessings and curses. In fact, have you ever thought about why we say bless you after somebody sneezes? There's a few stories about how it started. Some say that during the bubonic plague, one of the main symptoms was sneezing. When you had that virus, one of the main symptoms that you had was sneezing. So if you sneeze, that meant you have this disease. So the bubonic plague, you know, that was something that was going to kill you. The Pope's suggestion at that time, this is how the story goes. The Pope would suggest people saying, God bless you, to prevent them from dying. And that was supposed to be like a quick prayer. Another story is that older cultures thought that sneezing might like expel your soul out of your body. Or certain stories say that if you sneeze, you are actually expelling evil spirits out of your body. So when you say God bless you, you're either blessing, you know, the person whose soul got sneezed out, or you're saying God bless you so that the evil spirits don't go into other people. Again, this is how these stories were. There's even a story about somebody said that when you sneeze, your heart stops. So you're kind of, you actually die, but when you say God bless you, it's basically welcoming you back to life. Now, I don't know what's true, what's correct, but why am I saying all this? Because clearly some people treat blessings and curses seriously. In general, we want to be blessed, and we don't want to be cursed. Is everybody in agreement with that? In fact, we would think that only our enemies would try to curse us, but there's something that tells us that us as a body of believers, us as Christians, that it won't work. That if somebody tries to curse us, that it won't work. And why is that? Why do we think that? And that's the question I want to explore today. Why can't our enemies successfully curse us as Christians? Or can they? Can curses be placed on Christians? On us? Will they work? If you say no, why not? Is it because we have a strong willpower? Is it just because we're Christians? Is it because we're more spiritual than the person that's placing a curse? Why can't our enemies successfully curse us? And so this is where we come to the book of Numbers, the 22nd chapter. And so at this point, in Numbers 21, what is happening is the Israelites, the nation of Israel, had already left Egypt. And God has clearly been blessing them, been taking care of them, and they've been defeating their enemies left and right, people that they should not have won against. They're winning and overwhelmingly overpowering them. And in Numbers 21, they just took out the Amorites. And so now here they are in verse 1 in the plains of Moab. And Moab had a king named Balak, okay? And he and the Moabites were getting real nervous about Israel. Let's read the text. Verse 1, it says, "The Israelites traveled on and camped in the plains of Moab near the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Moab was terrified of the people because they were numerous, and Moab dreaded the Israelites. So the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, 'This horde will devour everything around us like an ox eats up the green plants in the fields.' So watch what happens. Since Balak, son of Zippor, was Moab's king at that time, verse 5, he sent messengers to Balaam, son of Beor, at Pethor, which is by the Euphrates in the land of his people. Balak said to him, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt,'" talking about Israel, "'they cover the surface of the land and are living right across from me.'" Now, Balaam is a prophet for hire. He wasn't necessarily a worshiper of God, but Balaam knew who God was. That's something, if you ever interact with those who deal with the spirit world and demonic, they know who our God is. They may not worship him or submit to him, but they know who he is. Balaam knew who God was. So what kind of ministry did Balaam do? Why would the king of Moab, who's about to get his people wiped out, why would the king of Moab need a prophet right now? If the U.S. is about to get taken over, why would the U.S., why would the president come and call the preacher up? Why would the king of Moab need a prophet right now? Because Balaam apparently had the divine connections to pronounce blessings and curses on people, and they would actually stick. Look at verse 6. Please come, this is Balak talking to Balaam. Please come and put a curse on these people for me, because they are more powerful than I am. Balak knows that it will take a supernatural turn of events to deal with Israel. I may be able to defeat them, he's still saying in verse 6. I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that those who you bless, talking to Balaam, those you bless are blessed, and those you cursed are cursed. Now, keep in mind, the nation of Israel has no idea this is happening. We're not talking about what Israel's talking about. The nation of Israel has no idea this is happening. This is a problem. Why? Because they could have a curse placed on them. Their entire military strategy, their entire winning streak, if you want to call it, might come to ruin because of a supernatural issue that they don't even see coming. Now, again, some of us think that this is a bunch of superstition. But when a king is about to have his nation wiped out, there's no time for superstition. Balak would not come to Balaam if he was not really sure Balaam's curses would work. If you keep reading on in the story, you would see that he's offering him riches upon riches just to curse him. Balak would not spend his time messing around with Balaam if he's not really sure. There's no time to waste. Balaam could legitimately curse Israel and change the course of history for both nations. And this is a scary situation. How does Israel deal with curses that they don't even know are being placed on them? Some of us have the same issue. Look, I hate to burst your bubble, but there are real people that can put real curses on you and me. I know a girl whose boyfriend's ex-girlfriend was into voodoo and used it to mess up his relationship life. And we know that because he just had issues after issues, and one day they ended up going to that ex-girl's house and found, you know, the dolls and the candles and all that. This is in L.A., by the way. I'm not talking about another country. I'm talking about a few miles from here. How could the boyfriend defend himself? What about you? I mean, I pray you don't have any enemies. But what prevents them from doing the same to you? What prevents people from cursing you, using whatever type of seances or dark magic or whatever? What prevents them from cursing you and ruining your life without your knowledge? Even if you don't know them personally, what prevents the random psychic or the spiritualist or the demon-possessed prophet from cursing you and things start going wrong in your life for seemingly no reason? I believe that the Lord has to intervene in these cases. Do you realize that the Lord protects you from attacks that you don't even see? Do you ever thank the Lord for all the battles that you never had to fight? Do you ever thank the Lord for preventing disasters that you know nothing of? See, we often thank God for bringing us out of a situation, but sometimes we gotta thank God for keeping us out of a situation. Let's see how the Lord kept Israel out. Now again, Israel has no idea these conversations are happening. They're just camped out in the plains of Moab, just posted. Balak and the Moabites are the ones that are nervous, and so they try to work this plan. Verse 7, the elders of Moab and Midian departed with fees for divination in hand. They came to Balaam and reported Balak's words to him. He said to them, spend the night here. This is Balaam talking. Spend the night here, and I will give you the answer the Lord tells me. So the officials of Moab stayed with Balaam. Watch this, verse 9. Then God came to Balaam and asked, who are these men with you? Balaam replied to God, Balak, son of Zippor, a king of Moab, sent this message to me. Look, a people has come out of Egypt. You know, it goes through the whole story. Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. I may be able to fight against them and drive them away. Are you ready for this? Verse 12. Then God said to Balaam, you are not to go with them. You are not to curse this people, for they are blessed. Now, there's a couple of things to notice here. One, Israel's protection is based on the fact that they are blessed. You can't believe in blessings and not believe in curses. Israel is protected because they are blessed. God has already spoken through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as we've covered for the last month, and has blessed their descendants. God has already decreed that the nation of Israel shall inherit the land, and that they can do this because they are blessed by God. Brothers and sisters, if you are saved by God's amazing grace, you are blessed. If you are walking in the light and following the path that God has put you on, you are blessed. If God has already declared his peace and protection over your life, you are blessed. The enemy cannot steal your blessing. The enemy cannot alter your blessing. The enemy does not have any say-so over how you are blessed or how you enjoy your blessing. So therefore, for the Christian living and walking in their blessing, God will not allow the curses to stick because you are blessed. When we talk about being covered in the blood of Jesus, I didn't know we were going to sing that today, but just that's how the Spirit works. He just works things out like that. We talked about the blood of Jesus. When we're covered in the blood of Jesus is a blood of blessing. It prevents curses from having a hold on your life. God would not allow you to be cursed because you are blessed. But pay attention. I want to be extremely, extremely clear about this point. Pay attention to what God actually did. He told Balaam not to curse them. Yep, right? Verse 12, he said, you are not to go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they are blessed. I want to be clear with this. God told Balaam not to curse them. God did not say your curses won't work. Stay with me. God did not say it's futile, you're wasting your time. God told Balaam not to curse these people, for they are blessed. people have the ability to sin, right? God can tell us not to jump off a cliff, but we have the power to do it. God can tell us not to cuss somebody out, but some of us won't say it out loud, but we know we have the power to do it. God told Balaam not to curse them, but Balaam had the power to do it. Why am I saying this? Balaam had the ability to curse Israel, but he was stripped of the authority to curse them. Israel wasn't safe because Balaam didn't have the power. Israel wasn't safe even because they were God's blessed people. Listen. Israel was safe because the Lord was protecting them, even when they didn't know it. I hope I'm being clear. Somebody needs to hear this. You don't need to fear curses. I know it's October and, you know, all these things going on. You don't need to fear curses. Why? It's not because they're not real. Yeah, they are. Hate to break up your bubble. I know your science teacher didn't teach you about that. Yeah, curses are real. If you believe in blessings, curses come with it. Can't have one without the other. Yes, they are real. But it's not because they're real. It's not because that the people pronouncing these curses don't have the power. And I want to be clear about this, because in some Christian circles, we preach a little too much about the power that God has given us and how we wield the power. And in a sense, if you really break down the theology of what they're trying to say, some people say that we have so much power that we really don't actually need to commune with the Lord anymore, because he endowed us with the power to fight off the enemy by ourselves. Do you realize how powerful the enemy is? Do y'all realize Daniel was supposed to get a message and he couldn't get it for 3 weeks? Because there was some, the Archangel Michael was battling Satan for 3 weeks? See, I want to clear that up, because it's not true. People think that, oh, you know, we're Christians and therefore the enemy can't touch us. Yes, he can. I'm sorry to break that up. Yes, he can. See, it's not because you're a Christian. It's not even because you're serving in the church. It's not even because you're prayed up. See, the reason we don't need to fear the word of man is because we are living off the word of God. He said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. See, God is the one that goes before and orders our steps. God is the one that knows about the attacks on our lives and prevents them from happening. See, don't trust in your level of spiritual knowledge. Don't delude yourself into thinking that the enemy is not powerful. In the face of all that power and the face of all that malicious intent, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Our enemies cannot successfully curse us. Why? Because the Lord protects us. See, the gospel is not that the enemy no longer has power. No. The enemy is extremely powerful. Have you read the book of Revelation? The gospel is that the enemy's power, as great as it is, has been rendered useless. Why? Not because we're so spiritual. Not even because we're God's children. It is because the Lord protects us and delivers us from the schemes and the wiles of the devil. Without God, we're exposed. We're the devil's prey. And if God let him, oh, he would have a field day with us. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary's cross. Because of the cross, we can be covered by the blood of protection. Because Jesus rose again on the third day, all power has been given to him by the Father. So what does that mean? We have access to that power in Christ. We are blessed. Yes, we can move forward in that blessing. And we can be confident that our God is taking care of us and protecting us wherever he sends us. God is so powerful that he can cancel our enemy's assignments. God has the authority to tell our enemies to stand down. And if you keep reading the story, God can make even our enemies bless us. What a mighty God we serve. No curse shall prevail. When we are in Christ and operating in Christ and trusting in Christ, the enemy cannot curse us and cancel our blessing. Thank God for his protection. And as I close, there's an old saying, if God said it, that settles it. Whether you know what's going on or not, and I want to talk to the people who get around these spiritual demonic things and we're just walking in fear. Whether you know what's going on or not, whether curses make you nervous or not, if God said he is going to protect you, that settles it. If God tells the enemy that he cannot curse you, that settles it. If God tells you, like he did in Deuteronomy 28:3, that you are blessed in the city, blessed in the field, that settles it. Even if a nun condemns you, that's man's word. But God's word says in Romans 8:1 says that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God protects you. He said it, so that settles it. And you don't have to sneeze for me to tell you this. God bless you. God bless you.